United Lutheran Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast, conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more, with voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Among the most controversial issues today is immigration and refugees, and we need to address that directly. Our guest today is Lou Charest, the manager for university engagement for Catholic Relief Services with a headquarters in Baltimore, and I'm Jerry Christensen. Welcome to the Seminary Explorers. If we can start out right away with the current situation globally, what's happening with immigration around the world, and why is America only a small part of this, Lou?
Yeah, thank you so much, Jerry, and thank you for inviting me as a representative of Catholic Relief Services to be here with you in Gettysburg. So currently there are 244 million people around the world who are on the move today. Of particular concern to Catholic Relief Services, who our work is in 100 countries around the globe with the most poor and vulnerable communities, we pay particular attention to those who are forced migrants, those who are fleeing poverty and violence in their home countries, and who are on the move either displaced within their country or needing to flee across their borders to seek safety. So Catholic Relief Services does work in 100 countries, both to prevent crises like this from happening and also to work and accompany these people on their journey who are in need of every imaginable service, food, shelter, protection, education for their children. Half of the world's refugees are actually children. And so CRS focuses a lot of our efforts in ensuring that their generation is not lost, that they can get access to education and psychosocial support. And of particular concern to us right now is the refugee crisis emanating from the Middle East in Iraq and Syria.
We can almost distinguish then between groups coming from Mexico, Canada, those are only two immediate neighbors, who are coming because of economic pressures rather than, well, in Mexico to some degree violence, but not it's not the primary reason, and those that you just identified who are being driven out against their own will.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all refugees. They're all migrants, aren't they?
They're all migrants.
In need.
In need, absolutely, and worthy of our concern. I would say economics plays a factor in various settings around the world, certainly in Latin America, as you mentioned. But there's also violence in some of those communities. CRS operates in what's called the Northern Triangle, in Honduras, Guatemala, and El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And often young people are fleeing up north that very violence.
Trying to make their way through Mexico or in some other way to get into the United States.
But you're right that there are a variety of factors. Sometimes it's poverty, violence. We're seeing a lot related to climate change and increased natural disasters and weather patterns, particularly in Somalia and East Africa right now, that are driving people out of their home. So these factors all contribute to migration and refugees, and ultimately, and at times, some of these folks end up here in the United States seeking asylum.
As they do in Europe and elsewhere. You know, we don't have a chance to ask this very often, Lou, so I want to ask you now. We don't have to spend too much time on it, but as a historian, it seems to me that this idea of global migrations, for whatever reason, is not new as we sometimes think it is. We don't often reflect back more than about 50 years in our own experience, or 100 years at the most, to the American Revolution. But in fact, from time immemorial, literally, migrations have gone on with the people of this globe.
That's right. I actually, in my talk this evening, I kind of bring us all the way back, but only briefly. I don't want to focus on the history, but I would say that migration is fundamental to our species. It's fundamental to who we are as human beings. It's fundamental to how we've been able to adjust, adapt, grow, and become who we are. You know, none of us were born, or our ancestors have come from various parts of the world.
Really way back, right? They were hunter-gatherers. They weren't settled people. They moved across continents, in fact. But.
So I see it as a migration as a function and a feature of just who we are. But it does get complicated now in the present day. However, to put it in context, we are experiencing the highest levels of forced migration since World War II. So 65 million people have been forced to flee because of poverty and violence, and we have not seen that since World War II, which is very unfortunate, but calls us, you know, to respond.
And that call is based on, in your view, is based on a couple of fundamental things. Most recently first. It would be the writings and the speeches of Pope Francis the First, but also to go back even further into the biblical mandate. So how do you handle this approach?
Yeah, that's a great question. Catholic Relief Services is formed in Catholic social teaching, and we believe that every human being is made in the image and likeness of God, and that they are endowed and imbued with essential dignity that cannot be taken away. And we actually formed our organization 75 years ago out of that belief and under the auspices of the U.S. Catholic Church and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. So foundational to our mission is our belief that every human being around the world, no matter if they are poor or of different nationality or creed, has been fundamentally imbued with dignity, and we are there to protect and defend that dignity as there are forces that are working against it. So it's fundamental to our faith. The Catholic Church has been remarkably consistent and prophetic, I think, on the issue of migration for centuries.
If you take it back to the Bible, there are several ways of approaching this. One, to start with, would be if it weren't for the fact that the early Christian church hadn't decided that Gentiles from around the world were welcome, none of us sitting in this room right now would probably be here.
That's right.
So fundamental to Christianity is the idea of welcoming others.
It really is. And so we have this current context to deal with, but as you mentioned, it harkens back to core tenets of our faith and belief, and these examples in history who have lived that out, and it's our call and our duty today to welcome and to have our faith manifest amidst these challenges.
What do you think are the fears that, and what fears and anxieties do you think are obstacles to this approach, and how has the Pope, as far as you know, tried to overcome them or tried to address them?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked me that question. I feel at Catholic Relief Services, we often will set the context and inform and educate people about what's happening around the world in these poor and vulnerable communities. We'll talk about our response on the ground, and we'll invite people to join our mission to help support our work financially or through legislative advocacy, through prayer and spirituality. So we have a variety of ways that we call people. I think we need to pay attention to the very real fears and concerns that people have. I personally have met and encountered refugees all around the world, in Africa, in Latin America, in the Middle East, in Europe. And so it's really changed my own perception of who they are. In my mind and in my experience, these are the most vulnerable people on earth. They are fleeing the very violence that we are so afraid of. Mm-hmm. But I agree, and I think it's important to legitimize people's own fears. I have four young children. I lock my door at night. I want to live in a safe community. I think we all want the same thing, and it's really important to see if we can remember that these are human beings. In the United States, we have very strict vetting policies, and so refugees that are allowed to enter have undergone years of scrutiny, vetting, and assessment by many agencies and layers. So Catholic Relief Services is in favor of the United States welcoming refugees who have been properly vetted and welcoming them in higher number than they currently are. There is another way, and people often mention this, which is to address the root cause. And so we work on the ground in mm-hmm. these countries, and often many people would prefer to stay in their home country, in their home culture, with their family and relatives within their own community. And so what we have also called on the U.S. government to provide more humanitarian assistance in those countries so that we can create the space for those people to remain there and then get resettled within their home country after the war.
You're saying that if we actually did invest at the, as it were, the ground level, where the problems of economic pressure, violence, and the rest are taking place, if we invested that, we would have less problem, might have less problem at the other end of the curative angle.
Absolutely. And I hope people see and can understand that message. And we are very effective in that work of helping communities develop. We partner with local churches, nonprofits, and groups to help them thrive and sustain and remain in their country, provide them access to market for their agricultural products, education so that they have a leg up. So we are investing. We feel that investment is very worthy. But Catholic Relief Services is essentially making a moral case for this work, but I certainly have seen that there are benefits economically and to our own security by doing this type of work and by serving people in need.
I didn't make it clear earlier, but our guest has that he is an employee of Catholic Relief Services. I said just the CRS angle, which many of you would understand, but all of us need to know that he is the manager for university engagement for Catholic Relief Services. He is Mr. Lou Charest, and we're talking about the controversial issue today of refugees and migrants. And by the way, one of your sub-themes is the duty to welcome. It's a stronger word, duty, than the option to welcome or the attitude of welcome. You think there's some sort of moral obligation here, Lou?
Not only do I, but I borrowed this phrase directly from Pope Francis.
That's pretty good ground for that, then.
But I appreciate that you did pick up on duty to welcome. I do think that is stronger, more significant, and lays the claim right at our feet to respond. Pope Francis spoke about a year ago and has in other settings around the issue of migration. I think some of his core messages are to remind us that these are people, human beings, and lives. They are not just statistics, and people are not to be cast away. He talks about a throwaway culture, and often, you know, you see images in mass of refugees and migrants fleeing, and they're often images that folks want to forget. And I think he has called us to a much deeper sense of spirituality for us to live out our faith and respond to that call to welcome our neighbor, especially those that are experiencing the horror of war and that are fleeing very serious circumstances with their family. So, yeah, I love he has been very clear and consistent and strong. He's called for the Catholic Church to take refugees in throughout the world and really in his image, in his examples, where he's washing the feet of migrants, mm-hmm. is trying to exemplify the very behavior that he's calling us all towards.
In short, you put it in a category more than a maybe or even a should, but almost a category as a must. You do this not as only as a Catholic, but as a Christian.
Absolutely.
Any human being.
I think Catholics and Christians within their particular tradition, the scripture, the life of Jesus, there are many things one can point to where Christians have really lived this out and taken this on and been remarkably loving to their neighbor. And I think that's what we are being called, is our duty to do.
some people listening will probably say, all right, you two guys have now done the easy part. You're talking about mandates from somewhere else, and you're talking about the theoretical and the theological. What about the practical? Let's start with the one you mentioned earlier, and I mean on the local level. What can we do on the local level? Legislative organizations, any of those practical suggestions that you might want to recommend?
Yeah, thank you for being able to provide that opportunity. I'm really excited to be able to announce that right before I left our world headquarters in Baltimore, we did receive confirmation that Pope Francis will launch a migration campaign in September of this year. It's going to be a worldwide campaign done in conjunction with Caritas Internationalis, which is a global federation of Catholic agencies that serve the poor and vulnerable worldwide. CRS is a representative to that body. And so in each country where Caritas is present, which is almost 200 countries around the world, Pope Francis will kick off this migration campaign, which will offer and invite people of faith and people of goodwill to do concrete and practical things, like you said, to welcome refugees and migrants. So what CRS is already doing, and which we will kind of fold into this ongoing campaign, is providing people those opportunities. So locally in the United States, in your diocese or parish or civic organization, there are things you can do to organize, to educate your fellow community members about this crisis, host events, raise money, raise your voice. There is legislation in Congress that relates to funding for international poverty-focused assistance that goes directly into providing CRS and other like-minded agencies the ability to operate in these countries. So I've been to Jordan and Lebanon. I've seen this money at work, helping kids receive an education, have food, housing, and psychosocial support. So there are direct things when you give and organize and advocate through Catholic Relief Services, your voice is really amplified across the entire country. We work at the parish level, the diocesan level, with Catholic institutions, with other groups of goodwill who share our mission, who share our values. And through this migration campaign that will be led by Pope Francis, we're hoping to be able to do this on an order of magnitude that we have never done, that there's a clear organizing idea, a clear call, and we're going to build out as many opportunities, practical, that people can do. There's things you can do on social media. So I know in the show notes, our website will be linked, but crs.org. And there you can find a suite of resources and tools based on your interests that can be downloaded and accessed and help communities who wish to respond collectively or people individually. And I can say, having literally seen this work firsthand, it has a life-saving impact, and it is very valuable, meaningful thing to do, and we hope people will engage that mission.
On the American level, you certainly have not advocated suspending the vetting process. At what point do you think we can improve legislation to help attain the goals that you've set out? Do we need to be more generous with our with the numbers who come in, or with the way they're handled, or what do you think is this is on the kind of the global scale now?
Sure,
at least on the American scene.
Within the United States, it's actually the American president who has the ability to set the particular numbers of refugees that are coming through. So the UN gives refugees a legal designation and perform several layers of vetting. Once they've done that, individual countries set their level that they can accept. So we've seen various presidents in the United States set them at different levels. We are comfortable that the United States has the most thorough vetting process on the planet. And so we would like to see the number of people welcomed here and resettled here grow. However, our strength and our core work really does exist at the root level of these conflicts. And so a lot of our work and resources is going to strengthen communities to prevent people from even becoming refugees in the first place. But the U.S. is a very generous country, and by the numbers, we accept the highest number of refugees in the world. It's just by percentage that I think we fall short, and we certainly, I think, have a very generous capacity, and we can do more. And I think, if you look back at World War II and the refugee crisis and the war, the people are called the greatest generation because of their sacrifice, because of their duty, because they stepped up to the most significant global challenge in their time. I think we have to do the same. There are many ways we can do that. Having more refugees welcomed in our country would be a great thing.
As the late President John F. Kennedy said, we are a nation of immigrants, all of us. And there are no exceptions to that. At one point or another, we all came from somewhere else.
That's well said. I agree.
Lou Charest is our guest today. He's the Manager for University Engagement for Catholic Relief Services, headquartered in Baltimore. And I'm Jerry Christensen. Our topic, we hope you've enjoyed it, is about migration, worldwide and locally. For the Seminary Explorers, have a very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers, a production of United Lutheran Seminary with campuses in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to visit our website at unitedlutheranseminary.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of United Lutheran Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.